Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight, and what a tremendous message in that song. I trust he was able to get a hold of that message, and the Rose of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, and why he came. What a blessing there. And then the young people, what a great job they did in presenting the Christmas story. And it's always a blessing to see them memorize the words of God. And we've had the Bible. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. God's promised to keep his word available to us. And it's been a blessing to see how God has done that over the course of history in the Old Testament scriptures, and how God continued to preserve his word that we might understand about creation and understand about his chosen people Israel in the Old Testament, and about the prophecies of the coming of the Christ child. And then as he has preserved the teachings of Christ, which date back to some 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, God being manifested in the flesh, born of a virgin, and came as a Savior of the world. And that was some 2,000 years ago. And the coming of Jesus Christ was God with us. And from that time forward, he taught the very revelations of God. And we have the New Testament because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought to us a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And he established Christianity and establishing the New Testament church. And the New Testament church and Christianity has been going strong for some 2,000 years. And we praise the Lord for that. And we have that all to look to the Bible to find out exactly what God's plan is in all of it. And Jesus Christ is the key to humanity. He's the key to human history because the whole Old Testament pointed to the coming of the Messiah, the Christ child. In the New Testament, the first four Gospels reveal that Christ is here. And if you have a New Testament Bible, the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reveal the life of Jesus Christ. It's what Christianity is all about. If you want to truly be a Christian, you have to learn to know what Christ was like. And the first four books of the Bible in the New Testament reveal the very life of Jesus Christ, how God walked as a man and how he lived. And then, of course, from Acts to the book, all the way through the book of Revelation, is the thought that during this New Testament church age, he is going to come back. And this New Testament church age will continue until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as a babe the first time, and as a sacrificial lamb. He'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're looking forward to that. Well, in order to continue and to complete the night, I think we need to get into the Word of God and preach a message tonight that I think will go right along with what you've already heard. And so if you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you would look to me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And there was many reasons the Bible gives us on why Jesus came and why God became a man. But in this particular passage of Scripture, it reveals two main reasons why Jesus was manifested in the flesh. And that's what we're looking at tonight. And so if you'll stand with me, and we'll be brief tonight because I know you've already received a great message from the children's program. And so we just want to complement that with the message here tonight from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. As I read, you follow right along with me, but let's see what the Word of God says. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you, we do love you, Lord God, and thank you for this opportunity to be in the church tonight and for what we've already experienced. And I pray, God, that we would take to heart everything we have experienced so far. And then as we look into this precious Word of God and this portion of Scripture that you've given to us, I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So John is addressing the believers, and as we see here, he says much about the believer and how that we are the sons of God and the children of the Lord. As you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you become a child of God's, and you're eternally going to be a child of God's, and God works in our lives as a heavenly Father. And so he's presenting all these things, and then in verse 5 he says this, and you know that he was manifested. God was manifest in the flesh. This was the birth of Jesus Christ to take away our sins. To take away our sins. So the first thing that we know in this passage of Scripture that John is revealing to us, the reason for Jesus coming was to take away our sins. Now, if he's to come to take away our sins, or if you will, to bring salvation to humanity, then humanity needs to know that we have sin. In order for humanity to get saved, you have to know that you're lost. There's no one that's ever been saved that didn't first of all realize that I have a need of a Savior. If there was no need of a Savior, then Jesus would have never been born. He would have not come as God manifested in the flesh. He would not have lived a sinless life. He would not have gone to the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago to pay a sin debt that we owe and could not pay. He came to pay our sin debt. And he resurrected from the grave 3 days later to prove that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. And so before we can get saved, we have to understand that we have a need for a Savior and that we have sin. Because he came to take away our sin. In 1 John chapter 1, just a page over, in verse 8 it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're lying to ourselves. If we don't think that we're lost, if we don't think that we have a need of a Savior, then we're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. The Bible goes on to say in chapter 2 of 1 John, in verse 1, my little children, now he's speaking to those that have been saved, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Meaning that even though you have been saved, you still have the capacity to sin. And it's because that we are born with a sin nature. We are born with a sin nature because of Adam's sin. And God says because of Adam's sin, that sin nature has been passed down through generation to generation from the very beginning of the first man all the way up to the present man. Every man, woman has been born on this earth, has been born with a sin nature. And because of the sin nature, we will sin. You don't have to teach children to sin. You don't have to teach babies to lie. They'll cry and make you think something's wrong, and as soon as you go to them, pick them up, then they're as happy as they can be. They learn how to manipulate mom and dad as much as possible, amen? Children, you don't have to teach them to lie. You got to teach them to tell the truth. You got to teach them to do right. You don't teach them to disobey. You don't have to teach them to disobey. Automatically, they want to disobey because they want what they want. But as a wise parent, you know that you have to teach them to discipline themselves so that one day they will live a life of self-discipline. And so the wise parent, will discipline their children to help them to learn to discipline themselves. But you don't have to teach them to do wrong and to disobey. No, you have to teach them to do right. Why? Because every person is born with a sin nature. The only one that was not born with a sin nature was who we've been praising all night long, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was virgin born. He was not the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. Born of a woman, but he was not the Son of Man. If he was the Son of Man, he would have been born with a sin nature, and a sin nature would have kept him from being that pure, sinless blood that it takes to appease God or to pay our sin debt. There's no other man that could have been born, that could have hung on the cross to pay the sin debt of the world. Only the only begotten, that means one of a kind, the only one that could have done that was God being manifested in the flesh, because he would be born without a sin nature. And with that, he would have sinless blood. So we find here that the Bible says that even for the believer, when you get saved, you get a new nature. The Spirit of God dwelling within us, but you still combat the old nature. And so God does not want you to sin. When you are saved, you've been forgiven of sin and then been given the ability through Christ to live a sinning-less life. And so he says, my children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man do sin, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who's ever living to make intercession for us. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, that's every one of us here. All of us are born with a sin nature, and because of that, we have and will continue to sin. But also the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that's what I want you to pay attention to, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ and him only. No other sacrifice can save you. No matter how much you sacrifice in good works, no matter how much you want to sacrifice in whatever you want to give, a lot of people want to believe that if my good works will outweigh my bad works, so surely I'll go to heaven. And if it's up to the philosophies of man, then that's a pretty good philosophy. But it's not up to man to determine who, how, and what it takes to go to heaven. It's up to an almighty God. And if there was any other way than Jesus going to the cross of Calvary and shedding his own blood to be able to offer forgiveness for sins, then he would have died in vain. And listen to me, Jesus Christ did not die in vain. It was the only way, and it's still the only way. Over in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 1, and let me just read to you what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says this, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I was saved when I was 8 years old, and I realized that I was lost. Somebody told me about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he paid my sin debt, and he wanted to offer me everlasting eternal life, forgiveness for sins. As an eight-year-old boy, I called upon the name of the Lord to save me. From that moment forward, I've had this new nature. And it took me a while to learn to yield to the new nature instead of to continue to yield to the old nature. But when I realized when I yielded to the new nature, I was living a Christ-like life. And living a Christ-like life brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. It brings a peace that passeth all understanding. It allows me to have a connection and a relationship to an almighty God. Helps me to realize that I have a heavenly Father who loves me. I'm 59 now. So that was 51 years ago I got saved. But no matter how old I get, I can always see myself as God's little boy. That's been a comfort for me ever since. No matter how old you get in this life, if you're saved, you're always going to be God's little child. And you'll have a heavenly Father to look to. He came. He was manifested. The Bible says to take away our sins. That's a hallelujah. Everyone here ought to be rejoicing that you have an opportunity, if you choose to receive a free gift that Jesus Christ. Now, it wasn't free. Jesus paid the price. But he offers it to everyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He offers it to you tonight. If you've never received that gift, you can walk out of here with the greatest gift known to mankind, everlasting, eternal life. What a great peace. What a great peace. Well, if you go back to our text tonight, one more thought, and I'm done. But it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, first of all, that he was manifest to take away our sins. He was, and he did. And then in verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That means that we have an adversary. There is an enemy. Can I tell you, the world would love to point you to a lot of other people as being your enemies. The Bible says we have one adversary, and that's the devil himself. And he's a spiritual adversary. Now, he works through other people's lives sometimes to get at you, but they're not the true enemy. The true enemy is that which motivates them, the sin that motivates them, the evil that motivates them. And Satan is that evil spirit that the Bible reveals. And so he says, he that committeth sins of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But for this purpose, a Son of God was manifested. So we find another purpose for his coming, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You're not going to see a devil visibly. The world would love to make you think he's a cartoon character, little red creature with horns and a pitchfork. That's not the devil. You're not going to visibly see Jesus Christ. No, it's by faith that you believe in him. Now, we have much to go by. Amen? It's not blind faith. We have this entire Bible that has withstood the test of time. Old Testament presenting that Jesus was coming. New Testament presenting that he came. And he was crucified, and he was buried, and he resurrected, and he ascended up to heaven, ever living to make intercession for us, and given us a promise that he will come again. So we understand that. We have much to go by. It's not blind faith. It's faith in what this Bible says. And that's why if you're not careful, Satan will take the Bible out of your hands. He'll keep you from having a copy of it yourself to where you can read the very words of God yourself. I love that because we are not dependent upon a church. We're not dependent upon a man. We're not dependent upon a preacher. We have God's holy word that we need to look to and read. But with that, he has established a church, and he has called men of God, and he has given us a commission to preach the word so that people might understand not what man's philosophies are, not what religion's philosophies are, but we might understand that we have the very words of God to look to. Don't have to put confidence in the man. Put confidence in the word. Because the Word represents Christ. He was the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he presented to us while he was here revelation of the Old Testament prophecies all the way through eternity future. He presented to the disciples, and it's written down now. Not only this current, present church age, but what's to come after. It's been written down. And praise the Lord for it. So we have it. We have it to look to. We have it to look to so that we might, through that, destroy the works of the devil. So what is the main works of the devil? Revelation chapter 12, and this is what Jesus gave to us. This is a revelation of what is to come after the church age. But it says this, in this it reveals to us exactly why Satan came and what he came to do. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. He was cast out of heaven. He was that archangel that rebelled against God, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. And so he's a dragon called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, the demons of hell as well, were cast out with him. And so the Bible tells us what he came to do more than anything else is to deceive humanity, to blind humanity to their need for Jesus Christ, to blind humanity to their sin condition, to blind humanity the reality of a place of hell, an eternal torment, to blind humanity that for the purposes of God. The Bible helps us to understand the reason that Satan come was to keep man from ever knowing God and to keep man from ever turning to Jesus Christ in this New Testament age for being saved. That's what Satan has done and what he wants to continue to do. And he's doing a pretty good job of it in the society that we're living in today. People are turning to the no faith today. People are turning to the place that there is no God today. And humanism is the main religion that people want to look to. Whatever I think, whatever I feel like doing, I ought to be able to do. Whatever I think to be right ought to be right. Whatever I choose for morality ought to be what I choose. If there was not a God, then that's good philosophy. But if there is a God, we cannot go by the philosophies of man. We have to look to the very words of God, which establish morality, which establish purpose for life. There is a God. If you don't believe there is, then you fall into that category that's been blinded by the devil himself. And the Bible is here to warn us about that very thing. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I love this. Jesus is teaching his disciples about how he would leave. He wanted them to be comforted. He wanted them to let them know that he would return. But he says, in answering Thomas, in John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas saith to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I tell you that Jesus came to reveal the truth? He says the world is full of darkness, deception, blindness. But he came as the light of the world. And every born-again believer, he instructs them to be the light of the earth, the world, and the salt of the earth. Because if you have the truth about Jesus Christ, listen to me, you have what this lost world needs. You have the understanding of the plan of salvation. You have the understanding of who God is, who God truly is. You know that. And that light, I could turn off all the light here in this auditorium, and you know what we would have? Darkness. Blindness. As you start turning on the light, you know what light does? It repels darkness. We can see in this room tonight because there is light in this auditorium. Jesus Christ is the light, and he has the truth. And as he presents the truth, as you believe the truth, then you will repel darkness. You will repel that which is lies and deception, because you will know the truth. And the Bible says, and the truth will set you free. Amen. He came that he might destroy the works of the devil. The most powerful work that Satan does is to blind the minds of humanity to who God is. He came to destroy the works of the devil, which the Bible says, if you go back in our text here tonight, in John chapter 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. So, if we are sinning, and if we are bound to sin, it's because we have been yielding to some spiritual influence in our lives. We've been yielding to the thoughts that Satan wants to put in your mind. And he can put suggestions. He cannot force you to accept that. But he can put suggestions into your mind. He can use the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to tempt you to do certain things and to live certain ways. But that is him. That's the devil. That's a spirit that worketh in our world today. The spirit of Satan himself, an antichrist. Antichrist is simply that which is anti the teachings of Christ. If it's opposite what Jesus taught, it's of the devil. It's antichrist. And so we find here that Satan looks to keep man bound by sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That means that you have been yielding to, and Satan has you bound by that sin. Which, the more you sin, the more bound you are by it. It becomes more of a habit. It's kind of hard to break a habit, but if you don't break the habit, it will eventually turn into an addiction. And then you can't break it yourself. That addiction will control you. And that's exactly what Satan looks to do. Satan will use sin to control the lost and even the backslidden believers. But the Bible says in verse 6, "Whoso abideth in him," Jesus Christ, "sinneth not." If you are living and yielding to, first of all, believing in Jesus Christ and receiving him as your personal Lord and Savior, then he's given you victory over sin. And as you continue to abide in him, or abiding in him is just simply yielding to the Spirit of God that dwells within you and following the work, the instructions of this Bible right here. If you are abiding in him, listen to me, you can overcome sin. No matter how far that sin has taken you, God can give you the victory over that sin. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 6, and I'm almost finished here, so follow, this is powerful stuff. In Romans in chapter 6 and verse 11 through 13, this is what he says. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Although we ought not want to sin. We ought to say, "Lord, help me to overcome this sin." "But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." When you become alive unto God, you'll find yourself being dead to sin. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." So that simply means that with Jesus Christ, looking to him and accepting that gift of everlasting eternal life, you have this indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the access to that which can help you to overcome any addiction of sin. And you can live as God would have you live. And you can be the parent that God wants you to be. You can be the husband and the wife that God wants you to be. And in being that person that God wants you to be, you'll find the joy of living restored. What a blessing. That he might destroy the works of the devil. The last thing I want to share with you tonight is Satan works to keep man living in fear of death. In fear of death. People do strange things when they think they're getting close to dying. People do strange things as they age. Amen. Sometimes I wonder, my goodness, do you know how you look? You're 70, you shouldn't want to look like you're 20. Accept age. Amen? There's a purpose and a plan for aging. And in God's will, there are blessings in every stage of life. I don't know that I've ever been as filled with joy when I get around my grandchildren. Amen. There's something about that that I don't know that my own children brought to my heart. I mean, praise the Lord, I know they did, but I'm telling you what, there's nothing like that. And some people, "Oh, you can't call me grandpa or grandma. I don't want to look that old." Listen, you're missing out on it. That's a blessing of getting older, enjoying. And I'm not old, but I am older. Amen. I can admit that. But it's enjoying the age that you're at. And looking forward to ultimately what God has prepared for me in the future. It takes away the fear of death. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. Satan wants you to live in fear. And he has overcome so many people. He has kept so many people bound by fears. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Who would not want that? Who would not want that? And yet we don't have it because we don't choose to receive it. One last passage of Scripture, John chapter 6. This is what Jesus offers. John chapter 6, verse 38 down to verse 40. John chapter 6 and verse 38, the Bible says this, For I came down from heaven, Jesus explaining and presenting this to disciples, and it's written down for us to know this as well. This is what God wants you to know. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. He understood all things as God. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Satan wants you bound in fear. Wants you to live a life of fear. But God says, I don't want you to live that fear. I'm not going to give you a spirit of fear. I'm going to give you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. But you have to choose it. You have to choose it. God's given every man a free will. God will not force you to do anything. He will help you to know the truth and help you to make the right choices, but he will not dictate your choices in life. And the reason for that is all of us individually will stand before an almighty God one day and give an account for our own free will. A holy God could not hold you accountable for something that you could not choose or could not choose to do or not do. He does not dictate, but he presents truth. God wants you to receive him. If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, tonight that gift is available. The children sang about it. Did a great job. But it's reality. Have you received Christ as your Savior? If you have, are you living as he would have you to live? Have you yielded to his will for your life? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed at this time. He came to take away our sins and to destroy the works of the devil, so that we might have a clear understanding and an opportunity to make a decision to receive him and the gift that he offers. Will you receive that gift tonight, lost person? You got to see yourself as the need of a Savior. Jesus came to die for you, to pay your sin debt. Saved man, woman, maybe you're saved, but you've not been living like it. Listen to me. Jesus came to set you free. He's come to give you the strength you need to overcome sin. Choose Christ tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray even now, God, that you'd work in our midst. And I pray that there would be decisions made that would change lives tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name.